Have you ever been in a situation where you needed a go-between? I know if you're a parent and have more than one child, there were situations in your household where you needed a go-between, that you might have had to act as a go-between for your children. Hopefully, children don't have to be a go-between for mom and dad, but sometimes when you go through those daily situations that create frustration in a marriage, sometimes children do act as go-betweens. My wife doesn't argue much. I'd rather have an arguer in some ways. Of course, if she argued, I'd probably rather not have an arguer. But you know, you can get the silent treatment for a while. And you know, sometimes children pick up on those kinds of things and become a go-between to get mom and dad back together. Any of those of you who work in the public school system know that sometimes children get in trouble to bring help to the family and thereby become a go-between to solve family problems. They get the focus on them, so mom and dad have to go to school, try to work things out, and come together. Well, on an international level, Condoleezza Rice is the go-between. As Secretary of State, that's a big part of her job, especially with the situation with Israel and Lebanon. She serves as a go-between. The religious word we use is an intercessor between parties to try to work things out and bring about peace or reconciliation. Or, if nothing else, just a ceasefire. So, a go-between is someone who works between two parties to bring about resolution, reconciliation, or better feelings, or just to agree to disagree and stop the hostility. Now, Paul tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, two ways the Spirit and Jesus Christ are intercessors for us. That when we're praying, and we talked about this weeks ago when we started this series on prayer, when we don't know what words even to say, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, stands between us and God, and makes a plea on our behalf. That the Holy Spirit is there to say the best it can for us to get us in right relationship with God. And in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the whole world to himself. Paul tells us it is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of God. That Jesus became an intercessor, a go-between for all mankind in our relationship to God. And when we look at the hot spots of the world, the hot spots in our lives and in our communities, there are people who step up and become, in effect, go-betweens or intercessors to try to bring resolution to problems in our lives. Remember the story of Abraham when God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham became an intercessor between the sinful city and Almighty God, trying to work out a deal so God would not destroy that sinful place. And boy, just like a Secretary of State for a nation. I mean, he was negotiating with God, and God was giving in and said, well, I can give a little more. I can give a little more. Remember the stories of his negotiations? And then we come along and we see how Moses was a constant intercessor on behalf of the people who had been led out of captivity in Egypt. They were constantly griping and complaining about their conditions. And God was perturbed with them. And many times God wanted to strike them all dead had it not been for Moses just falling on his face, interceding for the people, and said, God, remember, you know, it's your name that's going to look bad. I mean, you led these people out of Egypt. You led them out of Egypt. You overcame the Pharaoh. This shows what a great God you are. I mean, if you kill them all, how is this going to make you look? See, that's the work of an intercessor who just throws themselves into the midst of conflict to try to represent two parties, to bring them together, to work problems out. Many thousands more would have died than did die had it not been for Moses' constant intercession. Remember when Saul was out to kill David? He got a little paranoid. You know, they probably didn't use that word back then, but, you know, he figured David was out to get him and to take his throne. Well, it really wasn't so much David as God. But, you know, when your life is changing, it's always helpful to identify an enemy and villainize him. Well, that's what Saul did. I mean, he was after David. He couldn't say a good thing about David. But his son Jonathan loved David so much, he became an intercessor between his father and David. And worked it out so David could come back for a while, but then Saul's paranoia got the best of him, and David had to flee again. So throughout Scripture, we see people like Abraham and Moses and Jonathan who were intercessors, you know, dealing with particular situations. And this prompted God to send his son into the world to intercede for you and I. To stand between us and God and really argue our case. To take a stand for us, even though in many ways we don't deserve it. To pour his heart out, literally to pour his physical life out. To overcome our sins, our problems, our offenses before Almighty God. So the last type of prayer I wanted to talk about in our series on prayer is prayers of intercession. That when we're praying for other people, every Sunday when we gather here and ask for specific prayer requests, those are prayers of intercession. When we lift up a particular name, when we print someone's name in our bulletin on our prayer list, we're inviting God's people to intercede on their behalf. When we lift up names like Bob and Betty Probst, we're saying, congregation, intercede for them. Go to God in prayer for them. For Peggy Williams, for Joyce Christian, for your friends and neighbors that you lifted up this morning. Even when we simply lift our hands, we're inviting the congregation to intercede for whatever that silent request or thought might be. That intercession is the kind of prayer where we are going to God on behalf of others. I suspect we do a lot of intercession. You might not have known that's the kind of prayer you were praying. But when you go to God and pray for your family, you're interceding before God on their behalf. When you remember your friends and neighbors who have special needs, you are praying prayers of intercession. You're standing between them and God and saying, God, look at my friend. Look at my family member. Look at this person who has this need in their lives. Father, please reach them, touch them. You know better than I what they need. We can't be on better ground than when we intercede on behalf of others in our prayer life. And Jesus set that wonderful example for us. Now, how far do we go in intercession? Just this morning, I got an example that was inspiring and yet troubling to think about. It was a letter that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor, wrote to Reinhold Niebuhr, a theologian here in America. The people in the church over there wanted to get Christians out of Germany as Hitler was coming to power. And he came here. And he had this stunning realization that if he was going to be faithful to Jesus Christ, he could not stay safely in America. He had to go back to Nazi Germany. His friends in Germany wanted him to stay. His friends in America wanted him to stay. And he wrote this letter to Reinhold Niebuhr about his conviction. And part of that letter said that it's a sad thing when you are in the position where you have to decide whether you pray for Christians and Christian culture and end up not praying for the country that you love. But he said, I'm in that position. And I must go back to where people are suffering for their faith, Jews and Christians, if I'm going to be faithful. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer went back to Nazi Germany. Even though he was a pastor, he was so sure that what Hitler represented was so evil, he was among a group of people who plotted Hitler's assassination and was ultimately arrested, imprisoned, and executed for taking that kind of stand in his face. You know, as much as we love America, can you imagine praying for something against America? But you see, when we belong to the fellowship of the kingdom of God, sometimes in our prayers, in our intercessions, we may have to make a terrible choice like Dietrich Bonhoeffer made. Jesus made a choice. In the garden, a choice between life for himself and interceding for you and me. So in our prayer life, it's important for us to intercede for others, to pray for others, to pour our hearts before God on behalf of others. And when we do that for each other in the life of the church, we are stronger. When we do that, we join our Lord at the cross and at the table because we remember how he gave his body and his blood to intercede for our sins, for our salvation. St. Paul, instructing the young pastor Timothy in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. It's a part of our Christian duty to pray for one another. I'm glad we do that on Sunday mornings. I hope you do that during the week. Lift up prayers. Go to God. Stand between God and the person you care about and offer up prayers on their behalf. They'll be stronger. The church will be stronger. And you'll be stronger if you do that faithfully. Your prayers of intercession. Let us bow. Gracious Father, we might not even be here as a church if your son had not interceded on our behalf. In the Gospel of John, in the 16th, 17th, and 18th chapters, he just pours himself out in prayer for us. All of the good things he wants for us, he brings to you in a prayer of intercession. Gracious Father, teach us to spend much time in prayer, especially interceding for the needs of those in the church, in our families, in our neighborhoods and community. People who are suffering around the world, may we stand in the gap and pray for them. And when our words fail us, help us to know that the Spirit is interceding on our behalf to lift all of that to you, Father, that you might hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.